welcome all of you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're glad that you are here. In our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, and specifically look at verse 27. This is in the fourth segment of the psalm, which is alliterated with each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we're in the fourth letter. And we come to verse 27, says, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Here we have a prayer request given by the psalmist here. In the previous verses, he said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word." He said, "My soul is like in the dust. I'm in a time of discouragement and trouble. But Lord, quicken me, make me alive with thy word." And then in verse 26, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me." In other words, I've made a declaration of my great needs. I've declared to you what's going on in my life. And you've heard me. Teach me thy statutes. And then he comes up with this very, very serious and important prayer request. And it is this: "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." Now think about what he's asking for here. Help me to understand what your way is, and specifically your way in your word. Have you ever asked God to make you to understand his word? Be careful what you ask for. This is important. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't understand what the Bible says." Well, have you asked him to make you understand the way of his precepts? You know, sometimes you've got to ask God to give you light, to give you understanding. Many times I think we just say, "Well, I just will naturally come to understand," but the Word of God is supernatural. And you've got the Holy Spirit of God, if you're His child, to understand His Word. And so he cries out and says, "Make me to understand." And with that, he says, "So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." As I come to understand your word, Father, I will go out and declare your wondrous works to all that will hear. There's a direct response to understanding the word of God. As we've come together today to worship the Lord and to sing his praises, it's also a time where we're gathering around the good word. I pray this morning that you will ask God to help you to understand his precepts. And then we can go forth from this auditorium and declare what? The wondrous works of God. Your heart is affected by the Word. Amen? Your heart and your life is affected by the Word, and you want to go out and you want to tell others about the wonderful works of God. That's how it works. If you have nothing to say, it's because you haven't understood anything. And that's why we need to have God make us to understand His precepts.
Let's take our hymn books this morning and begin our singing with number 192. Number 192. "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken," number 192. And we'll stand together to sing.
Yeah.
finish saying your prayer this morning, so Brother Zachary Harrington comes to lead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to come here and worship in your house, Lord, as a body of believers. And Lord, we just ask that as we come together to sing these hymns of praise unto you, to pray before your throne, Lord, and to hear your word preached today, we just ask that you would be with those that are on our hearts. As a church body, we ask you to be with our missionaries that we send forth here and those that we may not know of that are out there preaching your word, Lord. We ask today that you would just on this Sunday to uplift their spirits, Lord, whether their congregations be large or small, whether their work has shown fruit or not yet, Lord, that you would just continue to uplift them and to strengthen their spirits, Lord, to knit their families together in ministry for you, Lord, and that you would just honor and glorify their work, and that it would ultimately be to your blessing and to spreading the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that many would be saved through their efforts, Lord. And we just ask you would help us to pray for them, to keep them on our hearts, not just supporting them financially, Lord, but to support them through prayers, that you would just take care of them in ways that finances and other support cannot, Lord. We ask you would be with those that here in our congregation or those that we know are sick, not being able to be with us or dealing with infirmities, Lord, problems, that you just would take care of them, that you would just be the great physician for them, Lord, and that for those problems that may not be physical, but that are on the burdens of all those here, Lord, that maybe we do not know of, Lord, that you just would bring us to you, that we would put our needs at your throne, Lord, and we would offer them up to you in prayer, and that we would just trust that you would be faithful to us, Lord, and that we would be faithful holding on to your promises. We ask you to be with the ministries here. We think of Yak as it is coming to the T-ball season and other seasons, Lord, are coming to an end, and the T-ball World Series will be starting up here soon with all the people that will be on campus. We just ask for continued safety for all the players and parents, everything that's going on here, Lord, that you just would have your hand of protection on that. Also on the Yak summer camp, as with the pool, with all the children here, that you just would continue as you have over the years to give us safety, Lord, and to help us to give the gospel to these children. And today we think of the school and of graduation, and we think of not just the future of the graduates here, Lord, but everyone that will be in attendance, those that need to hear your word preached and need to know you as Savior. Lord, we know that we pray for our nations and our spiritual leaders and the military and the safety and the future of our country, Lord, but we know that the future can be unstable. We know that even for those that are older here, that have lived their lives, that they think of the future for their children and their grandchildren, Lord, and there are things that are just out of our hands that we cannot control. And we just ask that for not just the graduates as they go forward into their careers and college, but also for the young and old here, Lord, that you just would help us to cling to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you just would help us to hear today worship you, that you would be worshipped in graduation today with the gospel preached, that you would receive all the honor and glory, Lord, and that you just would help us to set our sights on you, to know that you will be our rock through this life, and that it is through your salvation of us, saving us from our sins, and through your righteousness given to us, that we can have heaven in our future, and that we can know that no matter what happens to us here on this earth, no matter what we worry about for children or grandchildren or our families and friends, Lord, that you are the one who sees them through and works all things together for your honor and glory and for our goodwill. And we just ask today that you would help us to have this on our hearts as we worship you through the preaching of your word and through singing hymns of praise to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we turn down to number 348. 348. My hope is in the Lord, number 348.
For me, he died. For me, he died.
turn now to hymn number 380. 380, very familiar hymn, How Firm a Foundation, number 380. We'll sing just the first and second verses, verses 1 and 2, number 380.
Would you please take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And in the time that we have remaining together today, I want to speak to you concerning the parable of the coming groom. I've taken a little bit different course in our study today because most times when you come to chapter 25, you hear the parable of the 10 virgins. The parable of the 10 virgins. But I'm going to take a little bit different course. And I think as we read, we'll see, I believe, the emphasis of this passage. That it's not only on the 10 virgins that are mentioned here, but the coming groom. The coming groom. Let's look at verse 1, and we will begin reading through the first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. In other words, they're empty. They don't have any oil. But the wise answered and said, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, what is the principle or what is the emphasis of this story that's given to us, this parable? It's verse 13. Watch therefore. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd anoint this preacher to communicate your word. And I pray that for those that are here today, that they would have ears to hear. Lord, this passage of Scripture teaches a very important, important lesson. And I pray, Father, that those that are here might know Thee, that they might possess the oil of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that they might be watching, might be ready for when You come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 25 is a parable filled, or several parables filled with supplemental teaching in addition to what we have learned in chapter 24. Here we have the message that our Lord is preaching, the Olivet Discourse. And He comes to chapter 25 and He gives us a series of parables whereby He emphasizes the teaching that He shared with the Gentiles, with the Jews, and with the Church of God. And we're going to see these three tracts again that are mentioned here. But this first parable is an address to all three groups. And I think it's important to see this. Now remember, please, when it comes to parables, that you don't approach a parable and try to dissect every little thing and try to make it mean something. If you do, you'll miss the point. A parable has one primary message. All right? That's the first rule of interpretation when it comes to parables. A parable has one primary lesson. To spend time trying to dissect all the little parts and pieces is to miss the message that's being sent. Now, sometimes our Lord will give meaning when He interprets. But when our Lord does not interpret and just gives us that, you look for the primary meaning. You look for the primary meaning that He's trying to give. This parable has been abused greatly over the years. Trying to come up with what the number 10 symbolizes and the why He chose 10 things, one representing each commandment of the 10 commandments. That's not what our Lord says here, is it? What does He say? Watch, therefore. That's a pretty good indication about what His message is. Amen? Got to be listening. Got to take to heart. What's the theme? Where is He headed with this parable? He's speaking to Gentiles. He's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to the church. Be ready. Be ready. You ever tried to get ready for a vacation? Boy, it's weeks of preparation. And then you come to time to load up the station wagon. That's what we used to load up to go on our trips. We had a station wagon. We don't have station. We have minivans now and SUVs and stuff like that. It's really neat to get to travel in those. But we had a station wagon. That's a low-profile SUV, I guess you could call it if you want to. And it was time to get ready. And we all had our suitcases. But inevitably, we forgot something. We forgot something. It's happened 1,000 times, right? You try to get ready. You have a checklist of all the things, but then inevitably you forget something. All right? Listen. There's only one thing when it comes to the Lord, and that's know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have to worry about your suitcase. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about having all your hygiene stuff ready to go. You don't have to worry about any of that. The only thing you need to know is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Then you're ready. Did I hear an amen? I think sometimes we spend a lot of time thinking about, what am I going to wear? What am I going to... Listen, the most important thing this morning, in order to watch, therefore, and to be ready for the coming of the Lord, I have to prepare my soul and my spirit. I've got to be saved. That's the heart behind this message here. To the Gentiles, call upon the name of the Lord. To the Jew, call upon the name of the Lord. To the church, call upon the name of the Lord. Watch therefore. Now let's get into this message here, because I think this is one of the great parables of the Scripture. Our Lord in this Olivet Discourse is putting down some important truths. He's emphasizing themes that He's already spoken about to each one of the groups, but now in a generic sense, He's speaking to all three, and He's making a very important statement. And then we're going to make an application of it. The marriage call. Look at verses 1 through 5. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now stop for just a moment. Two groups are identified. All right, the wise group and the foolish group. Now, what made them foolish? This is important. And what made them wise? The wise were ready. The foolish were not. Now, let's not get into all the significance of 10. Why were there 5? Why? You're missing the point. Don't get off on a rabbit trail somewhere. The 5 wise brought with them what? Are you with me? They had their oil. They were ready. Over here, we've got 5 foolish. What made them foolish? They didn't have any oil. They weren't ready. Are you seeing a recurring theme here in this message, in this parable? When it comes to a parable, you got to get the main theme of what's being spoken. So they weren't ready, the foolish. The wise were ready. Now notice this is a wedding scene. Weddings are beautiful, are they not? We had a wedding back in February. Weddings are beautiful. They're special times. Weddings back in Bible times were a little bit different than our weddings. They had a 3-step process that every couple went through. All right? There was the process of the first coming together, the engagement. Then there was a year, period of time, in which they learned of each other. The marriage was not consummated yet, but they were engaged to each other, legally married, but they had not come to that stage. And then they finally come to that stage, and the groom would go, and he would go down to the house to pick up his bride, to take her to the place where they were going to be officially joined together. And then they would go and they would consummate their marriage. It was a beautiful picture. And we're at that stage now where the groom has gone to get his bride. He always did that first. And then along the way, there would be people that would join the procession as they're making their way to have that final consummation of their marriage. And so these 10 virgins were joining the procession as they were going, and they were going to wait, and they were going to be there when the groom came. But the groom took his time. You ever seen a marriage that didn't begin on time? I remember we went to a marriage up in Jay one time, and it was one of my classmates, and we were waiting and waiting, and the time that the wedding was supposed to start didn't happen, and they had a flat tire. On their way, they had a flat tire, and they didn't have a spare. So they had to send somebody out to pick up a spare tire, bring it out there, and it was just a big thing. 35 minutes, she came in, and she was hot and sweaty. I mean, her face was red. And she walked in there, and they were wiping her face, trying to get her all ready to go and everything, and the wedding began. All right? And you could tell she could have just cried that whole time because of the delay that happened. But once the marriage started going, the ceremony started going, everything came together. After we were done, she came up to us, all the classmates that were there at the wedding, and she said, "I want everybody to know here, don't you ever do a wedding without checking to make sure you have a spare tire in the car." Okay? She just got married. But what was in her heart? Always be what? Ready. Contingency plan. All right? Make sure you got a spare tire in the trunk or under the truck. And even though you may have it there, make sure it's got air in it. Right? How many of you have forgotten about that spare tire in the back of your vehicle? Yeah? I have to say to you, of all the years, I've had this truck out here 16 years. I've never really got up underneath there and looked to see how the spare tire was doing. Thankfully, and as soon as I say it, I'll have a flat tire today, but I've never had a flat tire on that truck. So I haven't really thought about it. All right? And the folks that were driving that bride to her wedding weren't thinking about it either. Had a flat tire. Weren't ready. So here we see these virgins. They're in the processional. They're making their way down, and they're going to wait. They got a spot set up. They're going to wait for the bridegroom. It's interesting. Bridegroom. The groom with his bride making their way down. Now, don't read too much in it. People have tried to say who the bride was and who the virgin was. That's not the message of the story here. Don't get caught up in the details. Keep the general macro picture here of what's happening. They're waiting. And can I say it one more time? They're waiting. And so they all began to sit down, and they were waiting for that. I hope he's coming. Don't see him. And then the hours tick by. And it's almost midnight, and they're all fast asleep. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I would have been asleep by 10 o'clock. That's my bedtime. All right? I just have a hard time staying up past 10 o'clock. I just get, you know. So I would have been the one out. Fell asleep. So they're all sleeping. They're all 10 of them. All right? And all of a sudden, the noise, the hubbub. The groom is coming! The bridegroom is coming! And they all jump up, all 10 of them. And the 5 wise ones, they get their lamps and they start pouring their oil that they had brought with them into there. And they get theirs all going again, and they're ready to go. They're standing there waiting for the bridegroom to come. And the other 5, they look, their lamps are all burned out and they don't have any oil. So they run over to the 5 wise ones and say, "Hey, give us some oil. We need some." "We're not giving you. We've got enough for us. You need to go find somebody to save some oil, and that's going to be hard to find at midnight. But you better go and find it, because we're not giving you any." So the 5 foolish, they take off to try to find oil, and the bridegroom comes, and they're all ushered in to the wedding feast, and they lock the door. And then the 5 foolish, they come up, knocking on the door. I don't think they found any oil. Do you? They came knocking on the door. Let us in! Let us in! Lord! Lord! And what does the Lord say to them? What does the Lord say to them? I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. You can't come in. You can't come in. What did these five foolish women not have? They didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. That's pictured in the Bible, the oil of anointing, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. They didn't have what they needed to go into the presence of the bridegroom. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. I want you to think with me for just a moment. Here are these five foolish. They're running back. What were they saying to each other? What do you suppose that they were saying to each other? As they're going, I sure wish we had brought some extra oil with us. You know, the bridegroom was coming by and we didn't have our oil. I wish we hadn't done that. Let me tell you something. Aunt Carolyn used to have a saying with us when we were kids, don't grow a wishbone where your backbone ought to be. There's a lot of people wishing that they're going to go to heaven. A lot of people in this world wishing that they're going to go to heaven. Wishing's not enough. It's amazing how sometimes you go to a very famous gravestone and there's pennies laying all on there. Pennies. But they put a little, they flip a penny down there and make a wish. You know, can I be like this individual here? Oh, there's all kinds of pennies that people throw into the well, wishing for this and wishing for that. Number one, I want you to see that wishing to get inside the wedding is insufficient. You're not ready. When you have to wish, you're not ready. Oh, how it's important to take this to heart. You can grow up in a Christian home. You can have a good church to go to. But if you're only wishing to go to heaven, you're not there yet. You don't have any oil. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God if you're wishing. Number two, they did everything right up to a certain point. Did you see that? They had their lamps. They were trimmed. They had enough oil for a certain period of time. But did you notice about the wise, they brought extra oil. They had enough to go on and beyond. They were completely prepared. That's the picture here. They had enough, the foolish did, just to get them a little ways. It's like those that are tasters of eternal life. Tasting. Don't you love to go to Sam's Club and taste all the good stuff that they've got there? I like walking down the aisles in the food section, and they'll have these little carts set up, and they'll have tests. Or if you go over to University Mall, or is it Cordova Mall, in the food court area, if you go over by the Japanese and the Chinese grills, they have ladies that are out there every day, and they've got these platters, and they've got the little pieces of meat or chicken or whatever they're serving that day. And if you walk over there, I watched a fella as we were sitting there one time, and he just kept going back and forth. Japanese pavilion. Over to the Chinese. Back over to Japanese. And he was tasting one, and he went back over, and he tasted the other, and he stood there for a second, he went back over. He couldn't make up his mind. He didn't need either one of them because he was full by the time he was done doing all of his tasting. There's a lot of people in this world, millions of them, that are tasters. But I want you to know something. Tasting is not enough. Tasting. Oh boy, I really want to go to heaven when I die. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But not everybody wants to go through the way of the cross. That's the difference. So they'll taste. Said, that sure is good. But they never come and dine. The Master calleth. Come and dine. In other words, you're going to get from me what you need by coming to me. And there are many people that taste and say, you know what, I don't know if I want to come and dine with the Master. I'll just take a little bit of the samples. Number two, that's just not enough, is it? They weren't ready. They weren't ready. I want you to think with me in a third aspect here. And that is this. The wedding really wasn't that important to the unwise virgins, or they would have been ready. Now, this is something we don't think about, but I came to this just in my own personal study of this. Those five foolish virgins, the wedding really wasn't that big of a deal. They had a whatever mentality about the wedding. When they were making their preparations, they said, we don't need any more extra. That's just an extra burden. He'll be there early. Right? They started coming up with excuses about why they shouldn't have what they needed to be ready. We're just going to travel light. Let me tell you something. When it comes to eternal life, you can't travel light. You've got to have what God gives. You've got to have what God gives. You've got to have His Son. And you've got to personally know Him. But these five foolish virgins, evidently the wedding wasn't that big of a deal, or they would have prepared themselves for it, for anything. Because the five wise ones, they wanted to be there with all their heart. You ever heard of wedding crashers? These are people that just show up at a wedding, something gets advertised, you know? And they show up to the party after the wedding and they're over there eating that and said, who are you? I just came. Just came. You know, Bible talk has a parable about those too. They get thrown out into utter darkness. They showed up and they didn't have the garments. In other words, they didn't come for the wedding. They came for the food. Or they came for the glitter. Or just came just because they wanted to be seen. It wasn't about the wedding. It wasn't about the groom. It wasn't about the bride. It was about them. It was about them. And while they were back seeking oil, what does that tell us? They weren't seeking the groom. They weren't seeking the groom. In other words, thirdly, they weren't ready. The wedding was really not the most important thing. The bridegroom was not the most important thing. They were just there. And it wasn't enough. Let's look down further into this parable. I want you to look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready. There's our theme. Ready. Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I want you to notice something, that last phrase there. And the door was shut. When it comes to heaven, folks, when it comes to the dwelling place of God, it's exclusive. It's a gated community. I'll put it in terms we can all understand. Have you ever tried to get into a really fancy gated community and you don't have the code? I want to come in and look at the houses. I'm sorry, you can't come in. Have you been given the gate code? No! I just want to go see such and such house. I'm sorry, you can't come in. You see, heaven's a gated community. You've got to know one person in order to get in. And that person is Jesus Christ. You can try all day long to punch in other codes. I'm going to punch in good works. I'm going to punch in pleasing personality. I'm going to punch in, I'm good looking. I'm going to punch in, I went to church a lot. I'm going to punch in, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm going to punch in, I went to Christian church youth group. But none of those codes work in the gated community of heaven. Are you listening? And the door was shut. And when they came and they cried, "Lord, Lord," where have we heard those words before? Go back to Matthew chapter 7. And you'll see, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done wonderful works in thy name?" And he will say unto them, "Ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." They had no oil. They had no oil. Nowhere are we told in there that they came back with oil, ready to go. No. The door was shut. Time of opportunity was at hand, and they were not ready. They were not prepared. And so our Lord, as he concludes this parable, answers in verse 12 and says, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Five wise, ready and prepared. Five foolish, not ready, ill prepared. Which group went inside the door to be at the marriage feast? The wise. What happened to the foolish? They did not enter because they didn't watch. They didn't watch. I don't want to get into all the, there's a lot of things said about they slumbered and slept or whatever, but I think this is the point that our Lord's trying to make in this, is to be ready. Be ready. Even though the five wise slept, they were still what? They were still ready. They were still ready. The point is, don't fall asleep. The point is, be ready. I can't think of a needier message in the United States of America than this right here. The vast number of our population are not ready. They're not prepared. They're nowhere close to being prepared because they're too busy pursuing the American dream. They're too busy pursuing their own desires and wants. They're too busy living life in America. And the thought of eternity, the thought of being ready for eternity, isn't there. We learned this past week of the missions professor at Ambassador Baptist College, Brother Norman Johnston, wonderful man of God, love the Lord, faithful servant of the Lord, was planning to go on a mission trip. He was planning to leave that day, but God had other plans. One of the things that Dr. Alton Beale, the president of the college, wrote on his Facebook page, "Brother Norman was ready." He was ready. He wasn't knowing that that day when he got up that he was going to have a massive heart attack and he would slip off into eternity. But you know what? He was ready to go. The comments by former students concerning Brother Norman were very instructive about this man of God. Oh, how he loved us at school. He was concerned about our souls, first of all. And he wanted every student that graduated from Ambassador Baptist College to go out and serve God with all their hearts. That was his desire. And I don't think there was a one comment that was mentioned on the Facebook page that was negative about Brother Johnston. He was ready to go. He was ready. I wondered, as I'm sure some of you have, you know, as you approach and you get older, yeah, look in the mirror and you get reminded, days are slipping by. Mrs. O'Pager and I were talking in the hallway about how quickly this school year seems to have gone by. Now, the clock still moves at the same pace. But it seems like this school year was one of the fastest that I've ever experienced. It's just like a blur. Here we are, graduation day. Maybe another blur. Wednesday we'll be sending them home, Lord willing, at 11 o'clock. And that's what the teachers are praying for too. Lord willing, 11 o'clock, we'll send them on their way, you know. And camp starts very shortly, and this year is just moving along rapidly. But you know, the clock still moves at the same pace. The question is, are you ready? Watch, therefore. What's all involved in that word watch? Watch. You ever waited with anticipation? I can remember that on some of our vacations, we had to wait for Dad to get home from work. Sometimes we left late at night when he would get home from day shift, or maybe when he got off 3 to 11 shift, and we would take off and leave, and we would go get on the road for vacation. I remember waiting for Dad to get home. Just looking forward. When Dad gets home, we get to load up and we get to go on our vacation. Now, when the kids are really little, parents are not looking forward to that, you know, because they have to listen to what the whole time? Are we there yet? You know? No, we're not there yet. We'll let you know. Be quiet. And my dad was smart. He got a pickup truck, and he put us in the back with no sliding glass window between us. So Dad always had a smile as he's driving down the road. We're back in the back banging on the camper shell inside, and all you hear is mouth, you know, we need to go in the bathroom. Dad just driving along, you know. Then we resorted to drawing pictures and words. We're dying back here, you know. And finally, he'd pull off at a rest area or whatever. But that anticipation of waiting for vacation to start. Can anybody identify with that? Yeah. As a kid, that anticipation of waiting for Dad to get home because we knew that's when we were going to leave to go on our two-week vacation. That's the kind of anticipation that's wrapped up in this word, watch. Do you anticipate, do you look forward to the coming of the Son of God? I tell you, as a Christian, watching our world come unraveled, my desire is this, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Take us to be with you. There's nothing in this world that I desire. There's nothing in this world that's so wonderful that I'd want to stay here. And if you do find something wonderful, guess what group you're with? Can you take a guess? Which of the five? Yeah. Who are the foolish? If you find this world so inviting, it's more important than the wedding feast, so I don't need to prepare. If that's the case, you're just not ready. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Folks, He's coming back. The groom is coming back for His bride. And the question is this, am I ready? Am I ready? I didn't say, do you want to go to heaven? I don't ask people that question when I'm doing personal witnessing. I don't go up there and ask them, do you want to go to heaven? Because I already know the answer to it. I don't think I've ever had one person that ever said, I don't want to go to heaven. Are you ready to meet the Son of Man? Have you prepared your spirit and your soul by repenting of your sin? Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel. That's how you get ready. We don't know when He's coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour. But we can be ready and we can anticipate His coming. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes for just a moment. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready? As I said, I'm not asking you, do you want to go to heaven? I think that's probably a given. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But not everybody's ready. Think about this. Do you love the world? Do you love the things of the world? Do you love the attractions of the world? Do you love the entertainment of the world? Then more than likely, your soul resides with the five foolish virgins. You know about the oil. You're a good taster. But really, the wedding's not that important to you. The marriage of the Son of God with His bride, the church, that's just not important to me. Then you need to be saved this morning. You need to be redeemed. You need to have that efficacious work that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary applied to your soul this morning. If you're here this morning and you need to get this matter said, would you slip out of your pew and come up here to the front and kneel down and get this matter settled. He said, well, people have been looking at me for years, and I've told them I'm Christian, but I'm not really a Christian. What will they think? It doesn't matter what they think. Get ready. That's what matters. Get ready. The Son of Man is coming. Be like the wise virgins. Prepare yourself to meet the Lord. Be ready when the bridegroom cometh. You're here without the Savior. Come before it's too late. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives today. Lord, I know that in a group this size that there are people here without the Savior. They may know about Jesus Christ. They may have tasted and sure tastes good. I'd love to go to heaven. But really, the marriage feast is not that important to me, and I want to travel light. I want to get all I can out of this world. Oh, how foolish to not be ready when the bridegroom comes. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in hearts and remind them, dear Father, that heaven is a gated community. The gate keeps the good and the righteous that have been redeemed by Jesus Christ in, but also keeps out those who would not come by the way of the cross. Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives today. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close this morning with number 146 in your hymn books, 146. I want us to sing that second verse, "There's a bright day coming." We know in the Scriptures that the Lord is going to have the brightness of His coming. It's referring to Him returning. A bright day coming. His brightness will only come to them that love the Lord. And the question, are you ready for that day to come? Let's stand and sing that second verse, number 146. Father, we do thank you for the message this morning, very clear, very pointed to our hearts. I pray, Father, that we are ready for your return of the Son, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would be putting effort and thought and conscience decisions, Lord, in our lives. We can be ready for whatever we want to be ready here on the earth. Lord, I pray that heaven's readiness would be a priority in our heart and life. Father, bless each one. Again, if there be one that doesn't know you, convict them, Lord, and allow your Spirit to work in their hearts that they would come to Christ and be ready for that bright day of the coming of the Lord. Thank you, Father, now for this time. Bless the rest of this day. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you.